The story of Jesus' resurrection according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Listen to this reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name."
Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Rejoice, we are indeed set free. I'm going to read the scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my song shall long enjoy the work of their, my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Well, I was expecting to be outside and wanting to make it quick, and so this won't be real long, but I will throw in a little extra here to begin with. For a free sausage sandwich at the Logan County Farmers Market, which book in the Bible mentions trees the most often? Wrong. We got Isaiah crossed off the list. This is Hangman. We've got the big bar up now. Psalms, wrong. Genesis, wrong. Revelation, wrong. Mark, wrong. Well, we're not quite hung yet, so I was going to take a few more. Proverbs, wrong. No, wrong, although there are several interesting mentions. Matthew, wrong. Ruth, wrong. Two more.
Ezekiel.
Who'd have thunk it? Now, you might want to verify this, because I didn't actually count it, but when I did Bible Gateway deal on, you know, just trees and it all coming up, and all of a sudden, Ezekiel just started going and going, and just every chapter or two, there was something going on with trees. And so, get out your concordance at home, and if you happen to guess something else that had more than Ezekiel, come talk to me and I'll give you a sandwich, but I'm pretty sure it's Ezekiel, which is interesting. Now, how many times does Paul mention trees in his writings? I'll take, you know, within five. That's within five. One time. All the writings of Paul, trees are mentioned once. That's about the grafted, the wild tree grafted into the branch. So you get a sausage sandwich, Rachel. Yeah, she always gets a sausage sandwich. But it's interesting how the Old Testament particularly is full of trees. I would like to, before I kind of come back to trees and just read a few scriptures that I found interesting about trees. I remembered this week And for all of us, I mean, Easter is always the time of this amazing, mysterious intersection between life and death, and life and death, and life and resurrection, death and life. And I think trees give us a certain sense of that. But I remembered that Glenda, 2 years ago, a film was shown at the Holland called Call of the Forest, The Hidden Wisdom of Trees. And there were a couple emails preceding that Glenda had sent me, and I saw Lori copied on one of them, or maybe more than one, where Glenda, as she was wont to do, when an idea struck her or something would get her attention, and she knew you were paying some attention to it, she would often try to help fill out the picture some more with things she had run across. But one of the things she sent me was some information about the, I'll get my Irish accent put on here, the Cráine Éireann, the trees of Ireland. Now, I'm going to read something here, and I just pulled it up with a search on email, and as I started to read this, I thought it was Glenda's writing. It's not, but I thought it was until I got to the end. Because she can write this well. And so to me, it is her words. Especially the way it begins. I mean, this is Glenda. You'll have to trust me on this. You'll have to trust me on this. Somebody fogged up my glasses. The state-subsidized Irish language broadcast produced a documentary series this year that should be deadly boring, but turns out to be the most hypnotic and mesmerizing thing I've seen on television in years. Each half-hour episode of The Trees of Ireland, hosted in Irish but with subtitles, profiles one type of tree found in Ireland, such as the yew, the oak, or the holly. The trees allow the viewer to explore not just dendrology or environmental science, but also folklore and art and poetry and all aspects of history, social, commercial, and political. The series, when exploring forests, stately manor courtyards, or a mysterious cathedral made out of majestic yew trees. Trees of Ireland is gorgeous television. Serene soundtrack of classical and romantic music. If you have interest in Ireland, or just revel in the lush, wild beauty of nature, you should give the program a shot. Said, I just found this. I can't wait to see the movie on Friday. By the way, this is completely from the hip, but as I was sitting there, and since we can't do this today as far as the planting of the tree, occurred to me maybe we should, when we get a night that we can do it, if it's decent enough, if everybody wants to come and do that, and we could watch the movie right after we plant the tree, because I've got a copy of it, and we could sit over there and finish the job together, if that interests anyone. The Bible begins with trees, ends with trees, a lot of death and life in between. And the trees are the source of death to begin with and the source of life at the end. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds, and it was so. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. During the story of the three visitors in Genesis, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. And Abram said, "Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree." A really interesting verse that I found in Deuteronomy. It's actually chapter 20, verse 19. And this is what it says. "When you lay siege to a city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees by putting an axe to them, because you can eat their fruit." Do not cut them down. Are the trees people that you should besiege them? Even God's kind of proud of what he did, I think. Trees are cool. Proverbs mentions the tree of life in different ways. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. The end of the story starts talking about whoever has ears in Revelation, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I'm thinking Linda's kind of sitting in the shade right now, perhaps. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb and down the middle of the great street to the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Death reminds us that there are those who have gone before us through the gates. There are those who await us, and in the resurrection we have the hope that we will join them. Let the tree be assembled.